Dr. Pedro Kahn, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me again.
Last we spoke was in Toronto in 2006 when you were planning for this conference.
Right.
And one of the things you told me was that you were going to try, you and colleagues, try to go to every country in Latin America as a kind of Olympic torch idea to get people excited, get them thinking about what they could do. Did you do that? And what did you find if you did?
Okay. We, in some ways, split the job with my co-chair, Dr. Luis Soto Ramirez, and we visited, I would say, about 85 to 90% of the countries. And in each country in which we were there, we tried to tell them that this was the unique opportunity for Latin America to have a conference like this one, in which they can show our successes, but also discuss our failures. And people were very excited about that. So on top of the thousands of abstracts that we have received, and many of them are from this region, we have also a kind of a regional session devoted to Latin America and the Caribbean to discuss specific issues in which we gathered people from the scientific arena and also people from the community in order to explore what are the next steps. Because, you know, this conference is a big momentum, but it will be over on Saturday. And what's next? The epidemic will not be over. The conference will be over, but the epidemic not. But I'm sure that we will have a before and after this conference in the region. We're looking forward to the impact that this conference will have on policymakers, on the communities at large, and also on the scientific community.
Then can you be more specific about what you expect world leaders, global leaders, to learn about the epidemic in Latin America this week? What's most important for them to realize?
Yeah. First of all is to put Latin America in the agenda, you know, because it's true, Africa has the heaviest burden of the epidemic, no discussion about. Asia has a very difficult situation. Eastern Europe is looking at a very fastly growing epidemic. But Latin America still has 2 million people living with HIV. And we used to say that the life of a Latin American person living with HIV has the same worth as the life of an African. So first, we want to put Latin America in the agenda. Second, we want donors and policymakers to understand that we have a very heterogeneous panorama here in the region. So Brazil and Argentina is one situation, but Paraguay and Bolivia is completely different. And you may have very good experiences in some countries and very bad ones in others. For instance, Argentina has a coverage of prophylaxis for perinatal transmission that is about 86% of the eligible women, which is good, but we are still lacking 14%. But let's say we're in the top rank in the world among those countries that are very they have very good coverage for pregnant women. But you just cross the border with Bolivia, and you will find a completely different situation. If you look at some countries in the Caribbean, the situation is really very, very bad. And if you go to Haiti is like a piece of Africa in this continent. So really, we have a mosaic in which when people think about Latin America, they always talk about Brazil. Brazil has an extraordinary rollout program, 200,000 people on treatment, and this is really to be commended, and it's very good. But Brazil is only a piece of Latin America. So we need to show the heterogeneity and diversity of this region. Right?
And you mentioned donors a moment ago.
Yeah.
So in the practical impact of this conference, are you hoping for more dollars to flow into this region, as well as some creative new ideas for tackling the problems?
I would say that both are true in the context of asking for more money overall for fighting the epidemic. Be reminded that we are in the middle of a process that started in 2006 during the UNGAS conference, the United Nations General Assembly on AIDS, in which the world signed a commitment to achieve in 2010 universal access to treatment, prevention and care. Is that happening? I would say it's happening, but at a very slow pace. So now one of the major merits of this conference will be to ask donors and policymakers, hey guys, what's going on with that? We are we are making you accountable for your promises. We need you to keep your promises, and that's the reason why our theme in this conference is universal action now. Okay, it's enough. Enough is enough. Enough of very nice words, enough of promises. We need people getting treatment. We need people getting prevention tools.
Do you think that that's been a problem at earlier conferences? Too much talk, not enough follow-up?
Well, you know, one of the results of the surveillance we perform after every single conference, mm-hmm. we have a group that is working very, very hard in terms of doing focus interviews and also polls about what have you seen in the conference, what were our weaknesses, our strengths in the conference, etc. People asked us to make policymakers more accountable mm-hmm. at the conferences. In our strategic plan at IAS, we really believe more and more that our conferences are a big momentum in which you can confront a big audience, community people, scientists, journalists, together with policymakers and funders, and discuss what's going on. So it's not the same that if you communicate by email and say, hey, what's going on, then if you have to go to the podium in front of an audience of 15,000 people, 20,000 people, and explain why did you not deliver what you have promised to do.
So that's pretty rough.
That's pretty rough, yeah. But
the IAS put out a kind of accountability report after Toronto.
Yeah.
And there will be one after this, I presume.
Absolutely, okay. Yes.
Stepping back, getting away for a moment from Latin America specifically, what will be your definition of success for this conference?
My definition of success would be, besides the impact on the region, mm-hmm. would be that, A, we would be able to increase the general awareness in all the different regions in the world about the tragedy of this epidemic. I'm a little bit concerned with some statements that, oh, you know, it's not that bad at this point in time, because there are some signs of stabilization and, you know, drugs are working so people don't die. I mean, 2 million people died last year. 7,000 people are acquiring the infection every day. So there's no room for complacency. We might be doing better in some fields, no discussion about. But can we just put us ourselves to rest and say it's okay, now it's not a problem? We cannot send a misleading message. While we are thriving for expand the antiretroviral therapy rollout, we need to explain to thousands of millions of people that are not infected with HIV that even the best treatment for HIV is worse than not being infected. So we need to spread the prevention message. And you know, we are speeding up our program of rolling out antiretroviral therapy. We are putting 2,000 people every day on treatment, mm-hmm. but 7,000 are acquiring the infection. So the gap is becoming wider and wider. So we need to duplicate our efforts and try to really have as a result of this conference the understanding that we need a comprehensive package for prevention, which includes some tools that we still do not have available, like vaccines and microbicides, circumcision for certain countries, the massive promotion of condom use, behavioral issues, and also the use of antiretroviral therapy itself, and this is one of the issues we want to stress during this conference, as a potential tool for helping us to curb the epidemic. Based on the issue that if you have more people with lower viral load in a community, you will have less chances to have transmission. So while we are trying to reduce the gap between the 31% of eligible patients that are today receiving treatment and 69% are not, while we are trying to shrink this second part, we are also working not only in order to benefit those patients, but also to benefit the community at large.
I want to get back to something you said a minute or two ago. And it seems to me that world aid leaders now are a little bit more defensive today than they had to be 2 years ago, in the sense of people questioning whether the epidemic, if it's stabilized, the revision of the UN AIDS estimates going down, so many billions of dollars being funneled into this, Is that an issue for you? And
this is one of the biggest issues that we would like to address in this conference. You know, there are some words over there that say, you know, too much money has been spent on AIDS. And this is weakening the healthcare systems. So let's think about that. Is this true? Are you telling me that before the AIDS epidemic started to get funds, the healthcare systems in Africa, for instance, were marvelous? Were like the Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York? Or are you telling me that due to the AIDS epidemic, we don't have enough TB clinics in Africa? We don't have STD clinics? Or does it work exactly the other way around? If you look at the report that was released by Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, which, as you know, is an NGO completely independent from IAS and from pharmaceutical industry, etc., etc., what they say is that they have seen that in those sites where they started HIV clinics, the overall level of clinical care for patients has improved. Because when a patient comes with HIV and he is coughing, he will get attention for his potential TB or pneumonia or whatever he has got. It's also linked to STD. It's also linked to reproductive health. And you will see in our program during the week that we have specific sessions devoted to how to better integrate healthcare system with HIV programs, not by shutting down the HIV programs, not by shutting down the financing of the HIV programs, but trying to leveling up the healthcare systems.
Okay, that's the final word. Thank you so much, Dr. Pedro Kahn.
Thank you.
Okay.